Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. When you think about it, you know, we're so often so quick to forget that the one who parted the sea is alive and at work in our lives, even now. So I'd love to know from you, which miracle or biblical story in Scripture do you find yourself returning to time and time again when your soul needs a reminder that God is faithful? It's not a rhetorical question. I really want you to answer that. Is there a story from Scripture that you go back to again and again when you kind of forget that God is alive and well, that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever? I like to just pronounce over my life, the one who parted the sea is alive in me. So is there a story that you go back to, or maybe even there's a passage of Scripture, a particular theme in Scripture? Would you text me and let me know, what's your go-to, the one that you sort of hang on to remind yourself that He's alive, He's well, and He's moving on my behalf? Text me, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Katie Davis Majors joins me today to talk about her new book, Our Faithful God Devotional, 52 Weeks of Leaning on His Unchanging Character. And boy, when you get, when you realize you're tethered to the character of God, it helps your steps be a little bit more sturdy, wouldn't you say? We've got a handful of copies to give away. Maybe if you're up for a new one-year devotional book, and she has you reading Scripture every day and then reading her devotional thoughts, text the word book to 877-933-2484. A couple quick announcements. We'll hear from Katie. We would love for you to nominate your community to host a Faith Radio event with our great, wonderful, fabulous morning host, Carmen LaBerge. You can fill out the form on our web, and we'll be in touch with you soon. So go to myfaithradio.com. You'll see the highlight there. Just click on the link, fill it out, and someone will reach out to you, and hopefully you can host a Faith Radio event. That'd be fantastic. And I've been mentioning this, but in case you haven't heard, this is the last time I'm going to mention it. I'm going to be at Emmanuel Christian Center this Friday. If you live in the Twin Cities, Emmanuel Christian Center this Friday, November 3rd, for a major epic sisterhood event. It's free. Food trucks, amazing worship. I'm super excited about my message. And then again, I'll be in Pennsylvania the following week at Hershey Lodge. That one's not free, but both are going to be great events. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Katie Davis Majors is a best-selling author and founder of Amazima Ministries, now living in Tennessee with her husband Benji and parenting their large crew together. Katie spends every average day folding laundry in her living room with little ones underfoot, chopping pounds of carrots for soup for her hungry crew, and whispering prayers to Jesus, who's still her very best friend. Katie, it seems like we talked recently, so welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Looking forward to our conversation. So before we dig in to your devotional, let's start here. What has God been talking about these days?
Oh, that's a great question. I love even just thinking back, you know, self-reflecting and thinking, what is God talking to me about these days? I've been studying in the Psalms for the last couple of months and trying to really pick out aspects of God's character that I want to focus on, whether for that day or for that week or for that season, just a small thought to just kind of go back to over and over throughout my day. And a few days ago, I felt like God just really made the word refuge pop off the page for me. And so I've just been thinking about and talking to God about what it means to find refuge in Him, that He is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, and just that we can run to Him and we are safe in Him. And so I've been meditating on that. I even wrote the word refuge on my hand so that I would remember to think about it. And, you know, just yesterday I was homeschooling my kids, and then later we were like snuggled on the couch reading a book, and I saw the word refuge, and I just thought, wow, you know what? God is our refuge. And because of that, we can be a refuge for others. And so I've just been asking him even today, you know, what does it look like to be a refuge to my own children, to my husband, to my friends and family members, and even just to a hurting world? Like, if we're made in God's image, I'm so thankful that He is my refuge and my safe place. And also, I want to be a safe place for others.
Boy, that's such a beautiful thought to turn it around, because Jesus did say, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So what a beautiful thing. I remember reading, I don't remember which devotional reading it was, but you were a refuge for someone, a friend who was battling cancer, I believe, and you became a safe place, and they lived with you for a while. Is that right?
Yeah. So during our time in Uganda and doing ministry there, our house was actually very, very close to the local hospital. And we had a lot of friends in the villages where we served that were far away from the hospital. And so sometimes when people had a need for pretty intense ongoing medical treatment, we would open up our little guest room for them to stay in. And so we had the privilege of caring for many people in that season that were struggling with terminal illness. And I know that that sounds so heavy, but really, I just saw God's faithfulness and His kindness and His mercy so clearly in that season. I felt like there's something really unique and special about being with people right after they're born, and then being with people right before they kind of walk into eternity, because they are so, so close to life with Jesus that we, you know, will experience one day. And so that was a privilege to be able to walk with her and with several other people in that time.
Wow, so good. Judy wrote in, she says, I have a couple of main stories from the scriptures that I love to go back to. Jesus calming the storm and the woman who grabbed the hem of Jesus' robe and was healed. Those are beautiful. Those are go-tos for me as well, Judy. How about you, Katie? And you heard my question at the open of the show. Are there any stories that you find yourself returning to?
Yeah, actually, those two that Judy just mentioned are two of my very favorites. I love the imagery of that woman who was not supposed to be in the crowd at all, who had been shunned for so long, who was probably feeling ashamed and embarrassed. I love the image of her reaching out her hand for Jesus. And I feel like that speaks to me so often, because when I've done something that I'm not proud of, it isn't my natural tendency to go to God with that. It's my natural tendency to hide. And so that picture of reaching out to Jesus and of Him being so tender and so kind and so compassionate toward her is so beautiful. And I love the idea in that story specifically. I love that He was actually on His way to do something else. Like, that wasn't even kind of the main mission of the day, if you will, but He was, throughout all His life, Jesus was so willing to be interrupted. And I can be really kind of task-oriented, and I like to get a lot done. And so it's a good reminder for me, too, that Jesus was interruptible, and that He spent time, you know, speaking to and looking at and speaking love over the people that came to Him. And I want that in my own life. And then just love the idea of Jesus calming the storm. There are multiple stories where He does that throughout scripture. And I wrote a book recently, Safe All Along, where I talk a lot about Jesus calming the storm and how He calms the storms in our own lives. Another one that I love, especially from the Gospels, is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Because I just love the idea that He can take our lack and make it into something that is beautiful and that is glorifying to Him. And I think I've seen that just so clearly in my own life, that there is so often where I bring nothing to the table. And yet, if I'm willing to surrender to Jesus, just like that little boy did with the couple of loaves of bread and fish, that Jesus is able to make it into something that is beautiful and glorifying to Him.
Boy, that's so good. Tina says, the miracle I'm crazy about is how God provided just enough manna for the day to the Israelites on their way to the promised land. Reminds me to trust him to give me what I need for today and not worry about tomorrow. That's so good.
That's so good.
And Natalie says, Susie, I've really been in deep thought about the story of Job. In humility, trying to imagine if God took away everything that I have, would I still love and worship him? Such a humbling thought and really a true indicator of our hearts. Any thoughts for Natalie's comment?
Oh, yeah. These are all so beautiful. This is what the devotional is about, right? Just going through scripture and seeing God's character reflected so faithfully all the way from Moses with manna in the desert to Jesus's life and ministry and beyond. I think I have asked myself that exact same question very often as I've read through the book of Job. Lord, would you make it true of me that if all else was taken away from me, that I would still worship you? And I think that's why it is so important that we spend time learning and studying and meditating on the character of God, because I am so driven by my emotions. And I'm so driven to proclaim God's goodness based on my outward circumstances. It's a beautiful sunny day today. The sunlight is streaming through the windows. My kids are all at school. I've got a cup of coffee. And so saying, yes, God is good feels really easy. But there are days and seasons where our outward circumstances are not good, and yet God is still good. And I want to be like Job. I want to be able to answer that question that Natalie's asking by saying, yes, absolutely. Even so, I would still worship. And so the more time I spend reflecting on and studying God's character and who he is, the more I can call that to mind, even when my life circumstance maybe isn't what I would like it to be. And I can trust that he remains good no matter what I'm facing.
All right. Gwen says this. That's beautiful, Katie. Gwen says, one is a parable where the father runs to meet the prodigal son, ready and eager to forgive. I think our Heavenly Father practically, I think of our Heavenly Father practically tripping over his heavenly feet to embrace us at the very instant we turn back to him. You know, every time I read one, I'm like, oh no, that's my favorite. And like, Gwen, that's my favorite. And she also says, I absolutely love Ephesians 3:20. And I love this too, where it reminds us that he can not only do more than we think, but also more than we can imagine. I love that he's a God who's beyond our comprehension. We have a God who's so far above us. He cares so deeply and loves to work on our behalf. What an amazing God who happens to love us unfailingly. Gwen, first of all, you should be writing, because that's beautiful. Anything you want to say, Katie? I love those are two of my favorites as well. So, wow, I love that.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you every time you're reading one. I'm like, oh, maybe that's my favorite. Just so good. There's just so much in scripture to help us reflect on who God is. And I, yes, 1000%, my life is a testimony that he can do far more abundantly than we can ask or imagine. And what a great comfort that is to us when we are, you know, looking out at uncertainty, or we are tempted to doubt, to just know, oh, God has done more than I could ask or think in my life. And so he will continue to do that again.
Amen. Here's another one. I think my favorite miracle might be raising of Lazarus, not just the raising of the dead, but Jesus weeping. The miracle for me was his closeness and his empathy. Wow. Lovely. Beautiful. And one more before we go to break. Love the story of Joseph. Even though his brothers were jealous and hated him to the point of planning to kill him, God still used his life for good. God can use even the worst events of our life for his purposes. Joseph could have been bitter for the rest of his life, but he chose to serve God and forgive his brothers. Any thoughts about Julie's post?
Yeah, that is so convicting. Just for that forgiveness, right? And it's a forgiveness that Jesus calls us to. But anytime I read that, I mean, we all know we have been deeply wounded by people in our lives. And to not just forgive, but then extend such grace and compassion, I think that's just such a powerful example of Christ and how he has loved us even in our sin, right? While we were still dead in our transgressions, he loved us and he died for us. And so That's a very moving picture. And it makes me examine my own heart and what forgiveness really looks like to me.
So good. So on the other side, just because I know I've had you on a few times before, and for those, though, who don't know your backstory, you got to know this, friend. She was, I think you were in line in high school to be homecoming queen. Maybe you were homecoming queen, but you had a path forward, possibly marrying the popular guy. You had quite a, you know, a path ahead of you, and you went on a mission trip and ended up moving from high school, if I remember right, to Africa. You'll have to correct this. But then you ended up taking in so many children. You just did this as a single gal because you had a deep conviction. So on the other side, you can clean up my mess, Katie. But I want people to hear your backstory, just even just a short synopsis, so they can get a context of where you're coming from as we dive into God's word. This is so good. Keep the text coming. What is the story in scripture that kind of takes your breath away, that anchors you, that reminds you, my God is good. He's personal. He's kind. He's true. What's your story? It could be in the Old Testament, New Testament. Why don't you text us? 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about faith, you can text the word faith to 41224. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Katie Davis Major. She's a best-selling author. She just released a new devotional. It's a one-year devotional, Our Faithful God. 52 weeks of leaning on his unchanging character. Got a handful of copies to give away today. If you're up for a new devotional, want to dig into the scripture and just have some support as you read each day's Devo, text the word book to 877-933-2484. And I asked you at the beginning of the show, friend, and I'd love for you to text in. I've got a number of really great texts that have come in. What's your go-to story from scripture that just inspires you, that just tethers your heart to God in a really precious way? We've had the woman with the issue of blood, the raising of Lazarus, how Jesus calmed the storm. This dear sister writes in, Susie, my brother had a TBI, a traumatic brain injury. The trauma team said he would be 80% disabled for the rest of his life. When they gave me that news, five trauma doctors in their starched white coats, I thanked them for all they'd done. But I said, my brother and I believe in the God of creation, his son, and the Holy Spirit. Less than a year later, my brother's completely healed and in a perfectly healed body. Praise God. That's awesome. Wow. Okay, Katie, if you don't mind, just because not everybody knows your story, just for the sake of our listeners who have maybe not heard your story, give us the backstory. You're in high school. I think you were a homecoming queen, weren't you? Or you were a popular girl. I know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us your story.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of typical American teenager in high school. My senior year of high school, I went on a mission trip to Uganda in East Africa. And God just really opened my eyes to the needs of the people there. Uganda is a beautiful country. The people are super kind and very welcoming. And I just really fell in love. And I was offered a pastor who worked there and his wife, they ran an orphanage, and they asked me if I would like to come back for a year after high school and help them out in their orphanage. And so I committed to do that. So I left for Uganda when I was 18 and thought that I was going for a gap year. And over the course of that year, God just opened my eyes in so many ways. To just the plight and the needs of the people around me in my community. I started sending a couple girls to school. I realized that there were a lot of families that were separated or sent their children to live in orphanages, not because their parents had died or not because their parents didn't want them, but because they simply couldn't afford to take care of them. School in Uganda is not free. And so a lot of parents didn't have the ability to pay for their children to go to school or even to pay for them to have nutritious meals or get medical care when they were sick. And so in an effort to try to help a family stay together, a family that I had become friends with in the community, I offered to pay for their two girls to go to school. And when I called home and shared that with my parents, you know, they were kind of like, oh, well, that's awesome. Are there other kids with that need? Because we could pay for some kids to go to school and help support the community in that way. And within the first year, I was paying for 40 children in the local community to go to school and have their basic needs met by collecting some money from friends and family back home in the United States. And so once we hit about 40, my dad advised me to found a nonprofit and have a more legal way of just funneling the money. And so that's how Amazima Ministries was started. That's the ministry that I still work for today. This was, 17 years ago. And so God just enormously blessed that ministry. It has grown and grown. We have over 800 students in two different schools now that we have built in the community. And our goal really is discipleship in everything that we do. And so we provide the community with an excellent education, which is wonderful. And we hope to raise up future leaders in that community who have an excellent education. But truly, our goal is to hire Christian teachers and mentors so that these students can learn the gospel of Christ and know him more deeply, and then go and share the gospel with the world. And then you mentioned also another part of my story is kind of simultaneously as that was happening, I eventually moved out of the orphanage where I was living and into a little home down the road that I ran our ministry out of. And during that time, some of the children that I was getting to know in the community had just various terrible tragedies happening in their lives over the course of the years. You know, when you're in such deep community with people, you walk with them through joy and you walk with them through suffering. And so after I'd been in Uganda for about a year, one of the families that I had been working with, they lost their parents and then lost the grandmother who had been caring for them after they lost their parents. And so I actually had community members coming to me saying, what do we do? And I said, they can stay with me for a couple days while we figure it out. And days turned into weeks and we looked for solutions. And as the weeks turned into months, I began the legal process to foster them and then later adopt them. And over the course of the next several years, the Lord brought me many, many foster children, 13 of whom I went on to formally adopt. And so that is kind of how God started to grow my family as he was growing my ministry. And a couple years later, I met my husband also in Uganda. He is actually from like 10 minutes from my hometown. So definitely a story that only God can write. We grew up basically down the street from each other, never knew each other, never met, although we joke that we were probably at like similar high school sporting events and whatever. But we had never actually met each other until he came over to Uganda to do ministry. And we met and became friends there. And after several years, got married and went on to have two biological children. So we have 13 daughters and two sons. Mm-hmm. And then, we built our lives in Uganda and did ministry there for almost 16 years. And then just about a year and a half ago, we actually unexpectedly moved to the United States. There were lots of different things that God was doing at the time, but the biggest factor was just that he made it clear that this is where he wanted us to be for now. And so our entire family lives in the United States now, except for our very oldest, who has graduated from college and moved back to Uganda to continue doing work in ministry there.
Wow. So how are your daughters adjusting to life in the U.S.?
It has been a huge adjustment for all of us. So all of my kids were born overseas, and spent, the early parts of their life there. And in many ways, I kind of became an adult overseas, moving straight out of my parents' house to living in Uganda. So it has been a slow adjustment, but our kids are just so amazing and they've just been so, Yeah, they've just been so resilient, and there have been some really, really hard times, but there have been some really, really joyful times as well. And if anything, it's taught us all to lean more into God and lean more into each other.
Wow. And how do you find a home that can house 14 people? Because one is, or 15, 14, 15 people when your hubby works for a nonprofit. I just got to ask. I mean, how do you do that?
Well, it's not easy. So we actually, this is so wild to say, but we only actually have five of our kids still at home. So a lot of our girls were a bit older when we adopted them, and this was anywhere from 12 to 15 years ago. And so a
Sure.
lot of them are grown now. We have several who are in college in the area, and then we have several who are adults in the area working, and so they have their own homes. And so it's seven of us
Wow.
at home, still a big number for many, but to us feels kind of small.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely amazing. When you look back over those years, we just got a couple minutes before we take our break here, but is there any one moment that stands out to you where God really showed himself? I know you've got thousands of stories because you've written a number of books on this, but just right now in our conversation, when you're thinking of the faithfulness of God, can you think of one go-to story for you that goes that God had his hand all over that?
Oh my goodness. That is only a hard question because there are so, so, so many stories. And I just so often look back at my life and just feel completely astounded. I mean, I think just the fact that God has brought me the most incredibly kind and gracious husband, it feels miraculous to me. There were many, many years where I just thought, well, here I am overseas doing ministry, fostering kids. Like there will not be anybody who is interested in jumping into this life with me. And so now to have a partner, to have a co-ministerer in just family and life and ministry and all the things is such a huge gift. And I just think, I mean, so often when I think of my husband, I just think, wow, God, I cannot believe you did this for me. And just the fact that we're all here in the
Yeah.
US is a huge miracle in itself because the adoption process in Uganda is very long and very challenging and for good reason. But there are a lot of hoops to jump through. And I remember many, many, many years when we were pursuing legal adoption of our girls. You know, they were always ours in our heart. And that part was easy to call them family. God made us family in our hearts very quickly. But to get that official on paper was quite the process. And so I think that is just a huge miracle. God really did part seas and knock down doors to make it possible that we're all here living in the United States.
I'm trying to imagine your parents, both sets of your parents, have this huge quiver full of grandchildren and getting to meet them for the first time. And I'm trying to imagine your holidays, all those things. I bet it's just wild.
It is wild and super loud and a ton of fun.
Wow, so fantastic. Okay, when we come back, you tell the story about a time when you were in a spiritually dry season and you begged God to speak to you and you found a Bible reading plan that was different than you'd seen before. I want you to tell us what happened, just because sometimes it just takes approaching God's word. Maybe it's a different translation or a different plan or just a different way that just sort of sparks revival in your heart. So I want you to share that story. And as we go to break, I want to read a few of these texts. This one says, one more, Susie, the woman at the well. Because I'd asked the question, what are the stories that just tether your heart to God and remind you what he's like? She said, the woman at the well, I so see myself in her, especially at the beginning of my faith walk. Here I was reaching out for the bare minimum, and the Lord is so much more in store for me than I could ever imagine. He really is the keeper of my soul, and the way he invites us to so tenderly and lovingly to get to know him has blown my mind. That's just beautiful. The Bible story mentions God's right hand over 50 times. I love how he offers his righteous right hand to us. It's a sign of honor and power and protection as he reaches for us with his right hand. Let's see here. I often imagine him reaching down with his right hand and me reaching up with my right hand as I allow him to help me, to be with me, or to redirect me. It's powerful reassurance that his presence is always with me. More with Katie Davis Major in a minute. hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Katie Davis Majors. She's a New York Times bestselling author, and boy, what a story she has to tell. If you just tuned in, once the live show's over, go back and catch the podcast and listen from the beginning. You'll want to do that. Her newest book, it's coming out soon, Our Faithful God Devotional, 52 Weeks of Leaning on His Unchanging Character. We got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And I asked you to text in and tell me what story is like your go-to story. Maybe it's a passage or a promise, but it just sort of, that's your landing place that helps you remember God is who He says He is. Now, this dear one says, hanging tight to the scripture of 2 Kings 20, verse 5, I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. I repeat this daily as I continue to heal from a long 2.5-year health battle that only the Lord can heal through this miracle-working power. God is always working, even in the small ways. We just have to remember to look for Him in all things. Beautiful, so good. And then this one, it says, I love this. Favorite story is when friends cut a hole in the roof to bring their friends to Jesus. Such a powerful reminder to be creative and courageous, to do whatever it takes to bring others to Jesus. And I said, too, that I love the audacity of that, and I also love the community aspect of that. Just so powerful. And then our producer, Angela Smith, says, my Bible story is from Luke 13. Jesus heals the bent-over woman. The text doesn't say she was pursuing Jesus like the bleeding woman, but He saw her. Not only did He see her, but He healed her and restored her. Beautiful. All right, Katie. Anything you want to say to those texts before we dig into your story?
I mean, I love both of them. This is so much fun to just mm-hmm. hear all these different texts that are speaking to people and just be reminded of God's faithfulness and the way He's used these texts to speak to me in my own life. I feel like I should do this every day. Just, hey, friends, what is speaking to you from scripture? What a great encouragement.
Yeah, I love it. We have amazing listeners. I love that. So I set you up before the break, but in the book, you open with a story about a time you felt spiritually dry. First of all, I appreciate you admitting that because we all go through those seasons. Everybody does. And yet you didn't just sit there in that. You didn't drift. You decided, God, I need you. Show me something. And He led you to do a Bible reading plan that you've not ever done before. Take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all experience seasons where we just feel a little bit disconnected or maybe like we're not hearing from God, especially those of us who have been believers for a long time. We remember those early days and what it felt like to just be on fire and be so passionate. And it can feel like, oh, I've already read all these stories, or like, do I need to read my Bible again? Do I already know what it says? And I think that that is normal. But I think also sometimes our temptation when we're having those feelings is to actually pull away from God, whether that would be like not praying as much and not bringing our requests to God as much because we're just not really sure if it matters, or whether that would be, you know, I just wake up in the morning and I don't really feel like spending time in God's word. But the problem with that is that that actually puts more distance in our relationship with God. It doesn't help us get closer. And so I encourage people a lot when they are just feeling this spiritual dryness, or they are feeling disconnected, like go back to the basics, stick closely to God's word. Make sure you are prioritizing that time every day. Make sure that you are prioritizing time in prayer and talking to Him. Because in the same way that we don't develop a friendship with someone unless we're spending a lot of time with them, talking to them, we won't develop a greater trust in God unless we're spending time bringing our hearts to Him. And so that was really eye-opening for me, because I think in my season of feeling that, I was just feeling pretty desperate to hear from God. And I think I was getting a little whiny, like kind of like, okay, God, I used to really feel like I was hearing from you, and now I'm not hearing from you. And instead of running back to His word to hear from Him, I was looking for other sources. I was flipping through books and I was listening to sermons online. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Those are great, incredible tools to draw us closer to the Lord. But my husband suggested we do this really old Bible reading plan. It's taking you through 4 books of the Bible all at once. So for example, it starts out going through Genesis, Ezra, Matthew, and Acts. And then it moves on, and there are 4 readings every day from those different parts of scripture. And I think I was just doing it because I wanted to keep up. And so I was doing it and I realized that that was actually what I had needed all along. I just needed longer, more intentional, focused time in God's word. And what was crazy is as I was going through this reading plan was just going in order. So it wasn't passages that were picked out of like some kind of topical index or designed to go together. But I was reading Genesis and Ezra and Matthew and Acts and seeing similar aspects of God's character in all of those different places. And so in all of those different time periods, different scenarios, different people involved, but God's character was the same. And I just started writing down notes as I was reading, and I turned those notes into this devotional. And so it's really my hope that this is just an encouragement. It's not actually a ton of thoughts from me. It's just an encouragement to read a passage each day and then a couple of questions for reflection. And then when we get to the end of the week, I do a little synopsis. But my hope is that it is just a tool that actually causes people not to want more writing from me at all, but to want more time in God's word. Because truly, the more time we are spending reading his word and studying it, the more clearly we are going to be able to hear his voice, even in times when we don't have a Bible available. And so that's my hope with this study. And it was actually just a really neat gift of the Lord. So I had kind of done the study for myself and was writing down my notes. And after doing that for a little while, I said, you know what? I want to share these notes with people. And so I had decided to start writing down my notes from the scripture reading on my blog and had said in my blog, hey, I'm going to show up here once a week with encouragement from the scriptures that I'm studying. And I didn't realize that in the middle of that year that I decided to do that was when we ended up unexpectedly moving to the United States. We were not planning to move. Our whole life was in Uganda. Our ministry was in Uganda. Our home was in Uganda. And we had not planned at all to move. And then we found ourselves unexpectedly in the United States, in a completely new place where we didn't really know anyone, you know, all the culture shock. And I think that really that probably, knowing me and knowing my sin habits, I think that that probably would have usually been a time where I might have pulled away from the Lord a little bit, or I might just not have made it a priority to spend time with him because I think we were so busy and we were in the midst of so much transition. And I think we can often just make some excuses for ourselves to say like, well, God understands why I'm not reading my Bible because I've got a lot going on. And yeah, that's true. That's not why we read our Bible is just to check the box. We do it because we long to hear from him and to know him. But because I had kind of already committed to the people following my blog, like, hey, I'm going to show up here with these reflections from scripture every week, I stayed really committed to reading through the Bible reading plan. And I just felt like, wow, God sees us and he sees our needs. And like, he knew that I was going to be in the middle of transition and hardship. He knew that I was going to need something a little bit extra to keep me tied to his word and to keep me studying his word. And so I just feel really, really excited about this devotional. One, because it is something that I would probably buy for myself or that I would buy for my friends or my daughter. It is a tool to help you dig into the Word of God. But I also just have a really fond place in my heart for this book because I feel like as I thought that I was writing it for others, God knew that I was really writing it for me and that he was really using this project to keep me close to him and to keep me examining the goodness of his character when my life was not going in a way that looked good to me. And so I'm grateful and I am so, so excited for it to come out.
Boy, congratulations. So beautiful. We're going to pause here. When we come back, You tell the story in this book about when you were in Uganda and you had a dead, ugly tree. I think it was growing out of a blue plastic pail or something like that next to your porch, but you couldn't get rid of it. I want you to tell that story and what came out of that. Talking to Katie Davis Majors, her new book coming out soon, Our Faithful God Devotional, 52 Weeks of Leaning on His Unchanging Character. Friends, your texts have meant so much. They're so beautiful. If you've not texted yet and you want to share with me what's your go-to passage, your go-to story that just reveals God's heart to you, that makes you smile or comforts your heart, text me and let me know. 877-933-2484.
Hi, this is Bill Arnold. I know you're enjoying listening to Susie Larson Live right now, and you've made it a priority to do so. That's smart. I would really like you to listen to my podcast. So after you have fed the dog, walked the dog, and played fetch with the dog, you can tune in to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Also, if you don't have a dog, well, I just saved you lots of time.
Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a great conversation with our friend Katie Davis Majors. She's releasing in the next few days here a brand new book, Our Faithful God Devotional, 52 Weeks of Leaning on His Unchanging Character. And I've been asking you to text in if there's a go-to passage, a go-to story in Scripture that helps you just stay anchored to God. And Lisa says, my go-to is this one, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Beautiful, Lisa. Thanks for sharing. All right, Katie, in the book you talk about a story, if I remember right, it was a dead tree that you hated really bad, that it was kind of planted near your porch, but it was too much to get rid of. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So we moved into a new house and we loved the house, but right by the porch, there was this tree. And the tree was dead. The leaves were all crinkly and brown. It just like, it didn't look nice there at all. And then to make it even worse, it was in this like blue plastic bucket. It looked like a makeshift container that it wasn't supposed to be planted in at all, but it had been left there for so long. The tree's roots had actually grown down through the bucket and into the cement patio. And so we could not get it out. Like it was permanently stuck there. And so, you know, it seems like a silly thing, but here we were in our new house and I loved the new house and I was just disappointed that there was this ugly dead tree there. But over the course of the next year, what started to happen was that everybody who visited our house seemed to think that the blue plastic thing was a trash can. And I mean, granted, it looked like a trash can. And so my kids would throw like their apple cores and their banana peels in there. Anybody who came over would throw their trash in there. And I think that that trash turned into compost and started fertilizing this tree. And so I walked out one day and noticed that the leaf, like it was growing new leaves and there were like new little shoots coming out. And then over the course of the next several months, I saw all these berries pop up on the tree. And as it turned out, it was a mulberry tree. And that tree started to grow. And once it started to grow, there was no stopping it. It got so huge and it got filled with berries. And we lived in that house for the next 7 or 8 years. And twice a year, the tree would just fill with delicious berries. And it would be so fun. The kids would wake up and race outside to pick all the berries that they could find. They constantly had like purple sticky juice all over their chins. Hmm. And I talk about in the devotional, just what a sweet picture that was for me of God's character and how He can take something that seems completely dead, completely broken, and He can breathe life into it and make something beautiful. And that's what He does throughout all of Scripture, right? He starts when people first sin in the garden, and God has said they will surely die, but they don't die. God actually keeps them. He clothes them. He makes a plan to redeem them. We see it in Ezekiel, in the valley of dry bones, right? The Lord gives that picture of breathing life and the bones stand up and they live. We see it in the resurrection of Jesus, right? Out of the darkness of the tomb and death comes forth life, our Savior. And so it was just a really cool, tangible picture for me. And for years and years, every time I walked by that mulberry tree, I just thought, yes, Lord, you bring beautiful things out of nothing and you bring life out of death.
I got to read this. And you said this, but it's in the book too. This is who God is. He turns our trash into treasure. He creates everything out of nothing, order out of chaos, light out of darkness. And from the very beginning, God has had in mind this glorious plan, mercy. He will take my nothing, my chaos, my utter darkness, and he will breathe new life into things long dead. Throughout all of time, this is our God, always coming near, bringing light, growing shoots out of the black of the earth, breathing life into dry bones, making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert, and ultimately raising life out of the death of the tomb. He takes our little and makes it much. He takes our ashes and he makes them beautiful. He takes our not good and makes it his very good. This is who God is. We just got a few minutes left. I'd love for you to just share what you know about God now that maybe you didn't know as well 5, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, what a beautiful thing about God is that no matter how deeply we grow in relationship with him, there is always so much more to learn. And so in so many ways, I've been walking with the Lord for a very long time, and he has walked with me through some dark, dark valleys and on some really joyful mountaintops. And still, I am so aware that I am just barely scratching the surface of all that he has to show me. And all that he wants to reveal to us about his character. I mean, I think one of the things that I feel like has grown so much over the last years is just a deep, deep friendship with God. Just in walking with him through a lot of really different seasons and even a lot of really hard seasons, I have just learned to trust him so deeply. And he really does feel like my closest friend and just the person that I want to call and talk to when something exciting happens or when something terrible happens, just to be able to speak to him as a very close companion. I feel so grateful for that relationship.
Let's talk for a minute about fear. We just got about 2 minutes left, but in what ways have you battled fear, if you don't mind sharing?
Oh, goodness. Lots of ways. especially, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show, just walking with a lot of people who were hurting and then now having adult kids. Man, I have battled a lot of fear as my children have grown up and gone out into the world. I think on some level, as a mom, you know that you can't protect your kids, but while they still live under your roof, you kind of feel like you can protect them, or you at least have that illusion. And just the older they get and the more independent they get, the more you realize you cannot protect them. You cannot shield them from just the hurt and the darkness of this world. And so I've definitely battled fear and even anxiety, and it has been an ongoing process for me to just learn to identify fear and anxiety in my thought patterns. And instead of letting those thoughts just continue to fester and spiral, to stop those fearful thoughts in their tracks and replace them with the word of God. You know, Jesus commands us and God commands us all throughout scripture not to be afraid. And this is a scary world. So the only real way to not be afraid is to stay in relationship with our Father and to know his word and meditate on it and replace our fears with truth.
That's so good. It is a scary world. And the only way to not be afraid, as she said, is to stay tethered and stay intimate with God. I got to read this as we're getting ready to wrap up. You said, sometimes we offer praise in spite of our fear, but sometimes it's our fear that pushes us closer to him, causing us to cry out, to lift hands in praise. What are you afraid of right now? Can you praise him in spite of it? Can you praise him because of it, believing that this circumstance may draw you closer to him and transform you into his image? Katie, it's such a joy to talk with you. And I mean, I marvel, you're still so young and you're a mom of 15, 13 of whom you adopted. It's a mind-boggling story. And I don't think you even realize how much your faith, your bravery, your courage, your conviction has impacted the rest of the world. So thank you for being who you are.
Thank you, Susie. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, congratulations, too, on another great book. You did a fantastic job.
Thank you. It was a fun one.
Yeah. As I get ready to wrap here, I want to read one last quote from Katie's book. Reflect on times that God has restored something in your life. Your weary heart, a difficult relationship, a renewed hope. Is your praise on display in a way that leaves people in awe? Are you quick to testify about how God has strengthened you and healed you and restored you? I think just ponder that and then start testifying to how faithful God has been. He's been faithful. He's being faithful. And he will be faithful again. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Katie Davis Majors was my guest. Her book is titled Our Faithful God. It's a devotional coming out pretty soon. I pray you found some encouragement here. We love doing this journey with you, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.